Good morning, dear saints. Another Saturday, time of fellowship. A time, I'm being repetitious here, that is always very delicious and very joyous for me. But the burden within is always strong, and I would say, particularly in this matter of shepherding, is persistent. And so this morning, we would continue in this vein of fellowship. But this morning, we would do something that I was about to do last time, but somehow I was carried away in spirit, I suppose, to talk about something broader. So we'll come back to this outline that you may have before you. If not, you can get it somehow, I'm sure, from the leading brothers in your church or area. And that is on the subject, a particular aspect, if you will, of shepherding that is so crucial, so necessary. And that would be seeking and restoring the dormant saints, seeking and restoring the dormant saints. I hope that even just these few simple words in the subject would stir up our spirit to pray in a specific way, that the Lord would place or impart such a burden in our inner being for a certain members in his body. And I refer to those members that are not doing so well, relatively speaking. Not that we're all that great and well all the time, but isn't it true that you lift up your eyes and look or consider that there would be a number of brothers and sisters that you may know of that are doing worse than you? We really ought to forget ourselves and always have this reminder to forget ourselves and take a look at those around. Then you will soon realize that your and my problem are really very small in scale, in magnitude, compared to so many others around us. This is obviously true with the people in the world, the unbelievers, and so forth. And that would give us a burden for the sinners. But we are here this morning focusing on not the sinners, but believers, and more particularly believers in the church, or at least who were once in the church life to which we belong. And they were in the, they might be saints who, whose family is still in the church, but they have gone off. They have left and seized their church life. They may be ones who are still in the church life, but in the periphery. You know what I mean? They're on the outskirts. They put themselves there. They still identify the church as theirs, but they are very infrequent. They show up once a few months, you know what I mean. But there would be even those who are in the church life, so to speak, but going through difficult periods, challenging times in their lives for multiple reasons. You see, if you consider this, there are a lot of right members in the body who are in need. And so actually, at one time or another, we are one of those saints. We may not have backslidden so much, but we went a little wayward. We were offended, by something. We lost out. We're disappointed by something in life. Maybe we met a tragedy, and has had doubts about God, about the Lord Jesus, even about the saints or the church life. And all these things, actually make us someone that needs to be restored, needs to be sought after. And so so the seeking and restoring of saints is a constant burden. It actually is a big part of the church life to recover, to heal, to turn back, to restore. And so such a spirit is absolutely clearly in the Lord Himself. And for those of us who are relatively healthy, following Him, active in the church life, and so on, we must adopt that heart of the Lord. We must have the same spirit and, brotherly witness Lee in his latter years when he covered this matter of shepherding very, very, in a very, very focused way, in the 1990s. He always, he would have these two lines, and I have often share this, and that is, we need the seeking and shepherding spirit of our Savior Christ. No doubt that is based on the first parable there in Luke 15, the three parables. And then he said, we need to have the loving and receiving heart of the Father God. That comes from the third parable. He didn't mention the middle of the second parable, but the second parable is one of the three, really revealing that same spirit and heart, in this case, of the third of the Trinity, and that is the Spirit, as signified by the woman looking for a lost coin, right? A lost coin in the house. The house is where we are, right? The house of God. And here you can be in the house, but you're lost, right? You have that experience. Where's my phone, right? Where are my glasses? You're in the house. It's somewhere in the house, but even you don't know where it is in the house because they're lost. They're misplaced. They roll under the sofa. They fall through the they fell through the cracks, right? But they're still here. But because out of sight, out of mind, after a while, well, Well, where's that person? Well, he's sort of still here, but is he really here? So this ancient here is a woman that is sweeping. You know, he's using a broom or some instrument to do a fine sweeping. You know, bending down. You know, lifting things up and just in a serious mission to locate to find to seek and to restore. And then eventually, of course, he found it, right? And it says the whole it's just full of joy. You know, by the way, in all three parables, one thing is consistently there, and that is the joy, the word joy. When a sinner or a believer is found and restored or turned back or returned or healed or recovered. Or came home, my, I tell you, the result is just a special kind of joy. Joy to the finder and joy to the entire house. And even it says joy in the heavens. How about that? Even the angels, are excited or uplifted. So, dear brothers and sisters, again, back to this burden of shepherding. Can you imagine that if in all our church life, large or small, doesn't matter, such a spirit and such a heart, is prevailing there? It is our hallmark. Can I use that word? It is our characteristic. You come into our midst. We are just this kind of people, caring for others, looking, seeking, finding, restoring. You will find this not only with the Lord Jesus, you know, in these parables and elsewhere. I mean, the Lord's whole coming to the earth for 3.5 years, he was on a seek and rescue mission, it wasn't he? After these two terrible hurricanes hitting Florida, they have these people that go around, emergency responders going around to look. To look and find people that are lost. That kind of a sense should be within us. That kind of spirit should be in us. And that kind of atmosphere should pervade our church life. We should not be happy just when we go to the meeting, we enjoy the meeting, and I'm in the church life. No, we may have our share of enjoyment, and that's good, being supplied, being nourished, and so forth. But immediately we must think about those who are not here, who should be enjoying this along with us. And I'm sorry to say, myself included, I condemn myself in this matter. Not only we have a lack of concern or care, or burden. Sometimes even we have a wrong spirit. You know what kind of spirit? It is actually, you will see later on in Leviticus, is that right? Somewhere, that talk about the you Israelites. Do not deal with your brothers. That means the other Israelites with severity. with severity. That means be kind-hearted. Do not be judgmental. Do not be condemning. Do not deal with them like outsiders. These are your brothers. And you have to what? You have to help them. The one, the so-called Good Samaritan, right? This one is beaten half dead, and everyone's just going to walk by, these religious people, what have you. But this Samaritan came by and had mercy on him, and bandaged him, and poured wine and oil, and eventually brought him to the inn. And we know what all that means. And the Lord appraised this Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. Even in the New Testament, apart from the Lord Jesus, with the apostles, whether it is Peter, whether it is John, whether it is Paul, they all talked about this. Even James, huh? Even James, at the end of James chapter 5, talking about some who have taken the way of error, to depart from the truth, there he was talking about praying, the prayer of Elijah, to pray in that situation. He commended, this is James, those who would go and turn back. He used this word, turn back. Turn the people back from the error of their ways. He called them sinners. Of course, according to the context, these are not unsaved sinners. These are people who are left the truth. And he said, to do this is to, we may save these ones' souls. How about that? Save their souls from death, and will recover and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the last words in the epistle of James. And you just can see the heart of the apostles. There may be even a saint that have really done something not so good, yeah, who have failed, who have even gone against the church or something like that. We surely have seen even brothers who have dissented and even opposed the church to some degree. But at a certain time, because of the much and thorough prayer, burdened prayer of some saints, and reaching out to such a one, they are slowly being brought back to repent of their sins. And it is a great thing to recover such a one, brother or sister. The word is that we can save this soul from death. Some even are, even because of their condition, they're under God's discipline. Yes, it's possible. They're even under a certain dispensational discipline of the Lord in this age. That is the Lord. We are not the Lord. Our heart is to recover. Our heart is to return such ones. Our heart is that after they may have experienced a pass through certain discipline in this age, in the next age, they may be saved. Their soul may be saved from death. Brothers and sisters, we need this kind of a heart, this kind of view. And so rather than this, when we think about someone, we say, oh, he's hopeless, you know. I have to admit I had that thought about certain ones. So he's hopeless. Don't waste time on this one. Now I'm not saying we don't need to be discerning, right? We need to be one with the Lord in these matters. But I'm talking about generally our heart and our feeling within us for these who are, no matter how bad they have become, they are sinners. I mean, they are our brothers and sisters. And we need to have this kind of a spirit all the time. Paul in Galatians talk about those who have been taken by an offense, you who are spiritual, right? You who are spiritual, restore, excuse me, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, just looking to yourself, lest you yourself can be tempted. Well, the point is, you just think about it. If it's not for the Lord's mercy, we would be just like that tomorrow, tonight. Am I right, brothers and sisters? Now, who are we to be so proud and so assured and so self-confident that we're okay? Then you think about others. Then you would not be so judgmental. You would be actually sympathetic, to consider them. And then Paul would continue to say, bear one another's burdens. And by this we will fulfill the law of Christ, which is a law that is based on love. Based on love, the law of Christ is the law of love. And so here we are charged to love all the brothers and sisters and all manners of brothers and sisters, and particularly those who are backslidden or those who are dormant, right? I come back now to the Lord himself. Look, in John 21, you know, that key chapter on the commission of shepherding, you got a classic case of a backslidden saint. His name is Peter. How about that? You know, Peter, the so-called leading apostle, the Catholic Church wrongly made him the first pope, but he surely was a leading apostle of the 12, of the first apostles. And he took the lead in good things and also in bad things. He took the lead and say, hey guys, let's go to fish. There's nothing to do here. We need food to eat. You know, let's go back to what we know to do. Let's go a fishing, right? Back in the Sea of Tiberias, and the whole gang followed him and went back to fishing. He was backsliding. This apostle was backsliding through and through. You know, he had denied the Lord not many days ago. I mean, like, that was a huge failure. Like, he was denying the Lord in front of a little girl, a little maid. You know, even he cursed, you know, to insist his innocence. You know, I don't know this man, right? Three times. Lo and behold, in their fallen and backslidden conditions, this is a bunch of apostles, okay, fishing there. The Lord showed up. The Lord showed up. It'd be good for you actually to read that story, you know, before the Lord talked, had that intimate conversation with Peter, what actually happened? Well, when the morning broke, it say Jesus stood there on the shore, and then the, and the, he, she, They were in a boat, maybe too far. They didn't know it was the Lord, but the Lord said first. He was shouting. I don't know. I have no idea. But they were not looking for the Lord for sure. They were just, hey, how come the whole night there's not a fish? He said the Lord reached out. Brothers and sisters, the Lord visited them in their backslidden condition. The Lord didn't give up on them. I mean, if someone denied the Lord three times, I think you and I would give them up in a hurry. Three times. The Lord didn't. Actually, the Lord said what? He said, I pray for you. Before all that happened, I pray for you already. Because Satan wants to sift you all, like the wheat sift you all. I pray for you. When you pass through this, you go strengthen your brothers. And he was actually almost like that is a picture of what would happen after Peter's failure, a sort of a foretelling of what will happen to Peter. And so he said, little children, you know, what did he say? He say, what's going on? What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? No. You know what he said? He said, do you have anything to eat? I mean, the Lord was just filled with grace. The Lord was just concerned about this tummy, the stomach, the hunger. The Lord is just concerned about their livelihood. The Lord was not judging them, you know, with some spiritual principles. The Lord said, do you have fish to eat? And they said, okay, no. And the Lord said, you know, cast the net here and so on and so forth. And they got a lot of fish. And at which point Peter realized, you know, it was the Lord. And, you know, and then he swam to land. And then he found what? He found this fire on the seashore. He found fish lying there. He found bread there. He found a beautiful breakfast, right? All done and ready for them. Then the Lord said what? You know, after they hauled the fish back to shore, the Lord said, come and have breakfast. Oh my goodness, this is the Lord. There's a lot to learn here from the Lord in this case, how to seek and restore a backslidden saint. Come and have breakfast. Nobody dare say anything because they feel condemned, they feel bad. But it says Jesus came to all of them and took bread and gave it to them and fish. I mean, this reminds me of the Last Supper, you know? The Lord broke bread, the Lord gave them the cup. And here in resurrection, he gave them bread again, and he gave them fish again. And then it was after that breakfast time, after that breakfast time of the Lord's cherishing of Peter and of also all the other apostles, that the Lord took Peter aside and had that conversation with him. Do you love me? And commissioning him to go feed and shepherd the lambs and the sheep and God's flock. Well, I hope that, dear brothers and sisters, you would think about this and come to the Lord about this and open our hearts and spirits to Him about this. I pray again that in the whole recovery, in all the churches, among all the saints, such a spirit and heart, such an atmosphere and feeling would be stirred up and would be amongst us continually, regularly. We wouldn't go wrong, brothers and sisters, if we are like that. Now, let's come to this outline. If you don't have it, you just follow me. And a lot of them I just can read. They're quite self-explanatory. My burden is more this heart, this spirit. Number one, we need to labor to recover the dormant ones. That's it. And I like this word labor. Sometimes it seems like it's more labor to restore someone than to initially save someone. Sometimes it seemed that way. This labor implies the need of great patience, of endurance, what is it? Faith, so you have the, in Thessalonians, the work of faith, the labor of love, and the endurance of hope. Those are the essences, the elements of this kind of restorative ministry, this kind of work of recovery of saints. Even now, let me pause for a moment. I'm sure if you just right now think a little bit, there's got to be a few names, huh? There's got to be a few faces, maybe even a few families of different age brackets, in different conditions, maybe another state, maybe another country. But it's in you that there is a feeling, there is a relationship, there's a connection, there's a burden there. But we have not done much about it. We procrastinate, we don't have the faith, or whatever the reason may be. Brothers and sisters, let us not let that be just names and faces. Let us do something about that. Let us pray. Let us start with earnest prayer. Okay, we'll get there on this matter of prayer. Okay, according to our observation, every church has dormant ones. Well, that is more than clear. And the older the church, the more dormant ones there would be. If your church is 50 years old, there would be a lot of dormant ones, maybe worldwide. Huh? They're not in the same locality anymore. And, behind every sinner, there's a household. Behind every dormant one, there's a family. So we're potentially touching a lot of people. Recovering the dormant brothers and sisters is a tremendous matter. Tremendous matter, not a small thing. There are some saints that I know, they just have this burden to look for and find and recover the dormant saints. They have this particular burden, and I'm always so thankful for them. And again, think about the saints. If it's not for some saint that reach out to us, we would not be saved for sure. We may not even be in the church life like we are today. If someone did not reach out to me with great patience and much prayer, we're all the results of such effective restoration work. Okay, B, this is a quote from Brother Lee in 1985 when he first went back to Taipei. He said this, we have baptized many new believers, but not many have remained. John 15, we are branches in the vine to bear fruit, much fruit. But at the end, the Lord said, I have set you to go forth to bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. We all have to admit, not all the fruits we born eventually remained. For example, Brother Lee continued, there are thousands of saints meeting in Taipei, but there are thousands more who once came to the meetings, but no longer do so. This is a great task. My burden is to go there to help recover the dormant ones. My main concern is for the ones who do not meet and the ones with whom we have lost contact for a long time. Those who don't meet and those we have lost contact for a long time. They're still here. Maybe some have passed on, but many are likely still here. Two, in our practice for the increase and spread of the church, which is something we are most burdened about, we need to stir up an atmosphere of the gospel, an atmosphere of pursuing the truth, for sure, and last but not least, an atmosphere to restore the dormant saints. The dormant saints. Much like a new believer, you need to cherish them. You need to pray for them. You need to feed and nourish them. You need to slowly bring them to the meetings in your home or in a group or in the church. It's the same kind of work that we have to do with a dormant one or with someone who have left for a while. A, when God moves, he begins by stirring up an atmosphere. How about we pray in Northern California? The Lord will stir up once again, deeper, deep in a deeper way, such an atmosphere. Just such a atmosphere among us in our church life. B, there's a need to stir up an atmosphere of seeking out our brothers and sisters who have not been meeting, as expressed in Hymns 471. Now, Hymns 471, I don't have the time this moment. You can go back and open it. It has an asterisk. Meaning what? Meaning it's a hymn that Witness Lee wrote. You know when he wrote it? He wrote it when he first went to Taiwan, not in the 80s, but in 1949. The Lord burdened him because there were many refugee saints who have left mainland China to this little island of Taiwan, just spread throughout. He had a burden to find them up and down the island and to restore them. And in order to help stir up this kind of atmosphere, he wrote this hymn. He wrote this hymn, 471, to almost, it's written in a way like someone who has been dormant, someone who has left. It's for them to sing. But it is this hymn conveys the kind of burden that we should have for these lost ones, or these dormant ones. So I won't get into this hymn. You go look into it or sing it, right? 471. See, we should pray for those who have not been meeting, saying, quote, Lord, we're here before you. Stir up an atmosphere among us so that we would receive a burden to take your heart as our heart and to take your love as our love. We're here before your throne. May you especially remember these brothers and sisters. Don't you think the Lord liked this kind of prayer? Don't you think he's waiting for this kind of prayer? Because these are his members. These are his lost sheep. Oh Lord, revive them and operate in them, you know, these brothers and sisters, even as we're praying for them. May the indwelling spirit cause them to have a renewed feeling, light the lamp in them, sweep them and seek them. You know, the second parable in Luke 15. May each brother and sister seek out and visit these saints one by one until we find them and bring them back to the church. Brother Lee exhorted us to pray this kind of a prayer. I think we should. If you don't have the words, here are the words right here that we can echo, we can respond to. Light the lamp, sweep the floor, find the Lord's coin. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for the saints in our church. I'm not expecting the whole church where you are would do this, but if there would be those who are spiritual, you know, those who have more experiences, those who have this kind of burden of saints in your locality, maybe would come together in a vital companion way to start praying. And maybe sisters with particular burden for sisters. I don't know. I don't know. The Lord will lead. But to pray, to even allow the Lord to stir up such a kind of atmosphere. Romans 3, the first move of the church, this is in Taipei, huh? Must be to recover the saints who have not been meeting and those with whom we have lost contact. These saints are the harvest of our past labor and hard work. Yeah, a lot of work has been expended on such ones, and we cannot just let them go so easily. A, we need to receive the burden to go out and visit them, reach out to them. The key to recovering the dormant saints is for the brothers and sisters who regularly meet in the small groups to receive a burden. It's good that even in your small group, you may have a home group, I don't know. I hope you are all practicing the small group home meeting church life. I hope so. And in your group, you can take the lead to stir up this kind of atmosphere. You might, after at the end of the home meeting, ask this question with all the saints. Brothers and sisters, I just have been burdened in these days and I've been praying. Do we all have some saints, some believers, some brothers and sisters that is on our heart? Can we pray for them? You know what I mean? Can we pray for them? My, out of that, this saint may say, oh, I have this burden for so and so for a long time, or that one, this. Well, we can start to pray. You see, this way the whole small group is stirred up, right? These group meetings is really, of course, it is to uphold us. We can have a mutual shepherding, and we can have the supply and nourishment and all of that. But in the end, these small groups commission is to reach out, you know, to sinners and to seekers and to the saints. And here we are talking especially the saints. I say again, I don't mean someone who is totally gone. I'm saying even some saints who are in the church, but are very struggling. You see what I'm saying? Or having a hard time, needing, cherishing, needing supply, or some that have been stumbled that you know about by this or that, or someone is offended by this or that. Brothers and sisters, there's just numerous kind of possible scenario of what these ones may be going through. We can pray for them. We can pray for them to find them and bring them back. Okay. Then our brother gets into the matter of prayer. We need to strengthen the testimony and pray desperately, desperately for this. In order to strengthen our testimony, we must be compassionate towards the saints who are wandering outside and bring them home to enjoy the riches of the Father's house with us. Compassion. Compassion. I find I am lacking. Me. Lacking. It's easy to find judgment in me. It's harder to find compassion within me. Yes, there is sometimes some serious situations, some problems, genuine problems there associated with some of the saints. But the first thing, is it love and compassion, or is it just kind of, you know, you deserve this, or you shouldn't have done that if you have listened to me, or, you know what I mean? You know, like parents with children. The children might have made a big boo-boo and then really did something really terrible. It needs discipline. But the parent's heart is not just to discipline them, and that is a process. Eventually, they want them to come home. They want them to come back. You see, that is the heart we're talking about. That's the Father God in the third parable. I mean, this prodigal, I mean, he blew it. He all the possession he received from his father, and he was in the dumps. He's in the worst situation, and he's coming home just to be a slave, just to be a servant. But look at the father's heart. Look at the father's heart. You know, I think one of the warning there is really his brother. You know, the brother, he got jealous. He got actually mad. What is going on? I'm here faithful in the father's house, in the church life, so to speak. And I don't get anything from you. You never held a party for me. Now this brother of mine, he squandered everything. He brought reproach to our family and shame to your name, and you're here saying let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. The father say what? He's lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and now he's alive. That's it. That's it. That's the father's heart for all of his children. Before number two here, before going out, we need to pray thoroughly, you know, before we visit these ones. After we pray, the Lord would direct us in some way whether it's by writing, whether it's by a phone call, or whether it's through some third party. I don't know. There's so many different cases and situation. But we need thorough prayer and specific prayer for such ones. That's why I'm touched by James there before he talked about restoring a turning back a sinful one. He talked about prayer. He talked about Elijah's prayer, powerful, effectual prayer. We need to receive a burden to pray. Initially, we may not know even the names of ones who we need to restore. In Taipei, there are thousands of saints. They don't even know who's who. We can tell the Lord, remember these saints. Lord, remember these saints. These dormant saints. Three, we may ask if there's one of the saints that knows a certain one who has not been meeting and could go and visit them, or if no one knows them, we could ask if there's anyone who is willing to receive a burden to go to them. With such fellowship, some will receive a burden to go and visit. So in Taipei Church, they used to keep files of all the baptized ones. That is a practice they had. So the persons may not be in the church life, but the old files were there. So this is what Brother Lee is talking about. Take out those files in the business office and look at these ones, and without knowing them, pick up the burden to visit. Back in Eldon days in the church in Los Angeles, when I was so young, I was in my late teens, getting into the church life. I remember there were two particular service groups. In those days, we called them service groups. Besides cleaning, maintenance, and things like that, gardening and things like that. One is called gospel visitation, to for the gospel. Another one actually is called visitation of the saints. I never knew what that was. I never knew what that was. Visitation of the saints. Then I remember when I was younger, I was saved. I was in my early teens. I dropped out of the church life in my junior high into high school years for a few years, dropped out. But I remember there were these saints who came to visit me, who looked for me. I was a kid, They were looking for a kid, and they came. And I know, one thing I know later on, and that is they pray extensively for me and ones like me, sort of my cohort, those who have kind of dropped out or what have you. They visited me, and they pray, and slowly they begin to cherish me and brought me back to the Lord. And of course, I believe very much through their prayer, the Lord start working very strongly in my environment to make me open and even make me desperate for a turn. I know one thing for sure. Without that labor, I wouldn't be here today. Absolutely, I would not be here today. So again, any age bracket, brothers and sisters, all manners of saints and situation, those who are our families, those who are ours. Three, we may ask if there's one of the saints that knows this. Oh, I read that already. So now number four, the Roman four, we need to learn the principle of visiting. Principle of visiting, because if we do not do it properly, we will drive the dormant saints further away. Well, I also had that experience, that failure. Instead of helping, I hurt. Instead of embracing, I because of my lack of exercise, my lack of sensitivity, my lack of finesse, if you will, I didn't help the situation. But I learned through experience, right? And here is something that our brother offered. The most important aid, the most important matter in visiting is to have a praying and learning spirit. Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty about shepherding people, about visiting people. And these are very helpful principles. A praying and learning spirit. Every visit is a learning. Because every one you visit is a different person. And even it may be the same person, they're in this, they're even in a different circumstance. So you don't have a formula. Visiting people, you don't have a formula. You have certain principles, but you still have to learn. You still have to pray. My experience is that the times when I am the most desperate with the Lord and cleaving to the Lord is the time that when I need to help someone. Yeah. Because I don't know what to do. I literally don't know what to say. I don't even know the whole full story of what's going on behind the scene related to this person. So we cannot be so confident and so presumptuous praying and learning in our visiting of the brothers and sisters, saying, "Oh Lord, only you can restore this one." No confidence. Lord, only you can do it. I'm but a vessel, but an instrument. Only you can do this. And praying, continue. Have mercy on me, the visitor. I can do nothing. Give me the wisdom and the words I need to speak. Well, dear brothers and sisters, I have to tell you I practice this. I'm not saying I'm all that successful, but I took Brother Lee's instructions to heart. This is the prayer in what, Isaiah 50, am I right? About open my ears every morning, right? Give me the tongue of the instructed. Give me a word that can sustain the weary one. That it was the prayer of the servant of Jehovah. That was Christ's prayer. Even when Christ was on the earth, he was the Son of God. But as the Son of Man, he still was constantly looking to the Father God on what he should say next. That's why he had time away from the disciples. Being with the Father, receiving the burden and the word and the direction, and how much more we. Dear saints, a lot of lessons, spiritual lessons, are learned through practice, are learned by doing. Trust me, if you would start to go and contact the saints and visit the saints and care for the saints, the needy saints, you will learn a lot. You will learn so much. You will learn the Lord as the reality is in Jesus. Learn Christ in how he ministers to people. Okay, B, when we visit the dormant saints, we must avoid inappropriate speaking that exposes their weaknesses and faults. The natural man always have a propensity to look for the negative things, the to you know what I mean? The Lord again, you know, with Peter, didn't say, "What's wrong with you? Why did you go fishing?" Not a word. Not a word. He said, "Are you hungry?" He said, "Have you had breakfast?" He said, "Take this bread and fish." So we must avoid inappropriate speaking that exposes their weaknesses and faults and causes some sense of shame, we can, if we're not careful, we can do that. You know, so instead of embracing, we're pushing people away. We cause people to feel guilty and shameful and embarrassed. And also words that give them the sense of being pressured by urging them to come back to the meetings. Never go to visit people and say, hey, come back to the meetings. I don't know how many times you visited and contact this person before you do something like that. Actually, the thing is not to come back to the meetings. The thing is to, hey, how about come to my home for dinner, for tea? Just do that. You know, by being in your home, a home of a saint, that's the step back into the families, back to the family, back to the Father's house, in your home, in my home. I have seen, surely seen this. The saints are already somewhat embarrassed and they're not in a good condition, and you go and tell them, when are you coming back to the meeting? And that's the last thing they need. Of course, eventually, that would be the goal, right? But I know there are many cases where the saint would return to a small group meeting, a get-together with two or three for a long period of time before they come to a bigger meeting and be comfortable in that. We need this kind of human, humanly divine or divinely human sensitivity, dear saints. In other words, brothers and sisters, we care for people. We don't care for a feather on our cap, okay? We don't care to, you know, check the list. We don't care for people are not our projects, our shepherding projects. No, it's about people's soul. It's about people's well-being. It's about people. One, in the past, even though the churches schedule many meetings during the week with the expectation that everything would come to every meeting, only those who were quote-unquote fervent came to every meeting. Others could not meet this expectation. We must not hold up this kind of standard for these brothers and sisters, these weaker brothers and sisters, right? Look, even you and I may not be so fervent all the time, right? Paul says, you know, not just you are weak, I am weak too. You know, Paul said that. Two, when one brother is in a certain locality who could not attend every meeting, came to a meeting, he was asked, why didn't you come to the prayer meeting? Why didn't you attend the midweek meeting? Faced with this kind of questioning, he made up excuses in order not to be condemned for loving the world. This damaged his willingness to come to the meetings that he could attend by causing him to feel as if he was inadequate as a Christian. We just have to be so sensitive, dear saints. You know, sensitivity and flexibility. I'm not talking about playing politics. I'm not talking about being pretentious. But I am talking about being proper, appropriate, sensitive to where people are. Never be condescending, brothers and sisters. Never be condescending. Never be high up there and you go there and take care of this lowly one. Paul says, with a spirit of meekness, restore someone. With a spirit of humility, knowing that you can fail. You can be in his or her shoes tomorrow. You can be tempted just as they were. And who are we to be so arrogant. I think the word is called empathy. Am I right? We have our failures. And you think about that, you wouldn't be so, you know, so prideful, so boastful, to despise. You may say, even brother and sister, I'm just like you. I'm no better than you. The Lord was very merciful to me. Let me tell you my story. 15 years ago, I went through this. And you say that not to bring shame to him. You say that sincerely, just as a testimony of the Lord's great grace, right? And leave it at that. And you don't say any more. You don't say, you know, brother, it's okay. The church loves you and I love you. And I'm praying for you, right? Let me know whatever you need, you know, anything that I can do. Like to see you again sometimes at your convenience, right? Like that. Like that. Okay. Many saints, three, in this situation, eventually stop coming to the meetings. And do indeed become backslidden. They were not that backslidden, but after your visit, they became more backslidden. You may not believe this. I have seen it. You might have also seen that. So we're not welcoming. We're rather cold and, you know, demanding in a way, by default. People have to measure up to certain things to come back. I know a few cases of Brother Lee restoring a brother, really a wayward brother, for wayward for decades. Ones that probably we would not volunteer to help. He did. Brother Lee. And what he did behind the scenes, he didn't tell people about that. We found out of such a kind of spirit and patience. Okay, all right. Saints who have a limited amount of time do not need to go to every meeting. We should adjust our concept to realize that it is not abnormal if a saint can only attend one or two meetings a week. Even if a saint can only come only once every 2 weeks or once every month, this is not bad. This is Brother Lee. Now, this is not an excuse for you. Oh, wonderful. Now I can stop going to meetings. That's not his point, right? Partly that's not his point. His point is, that unwittingly, huh, or a little bit negligently, we may set this up as a kind of demand and expectation on the saints wherein they feel pressured, right? We have to be careful that if they would just come infrequently, periodically, we would not be disappointed. Rather, we would be happy, be encouraged. You know, I'll tell you one thing. To care for people in this way, we all have to be enormously positive. I'm not talking about positive thinking, huh, in that kind of a worldly way, but I'm telling positive like God is positive, like Christ is positive. I mean, for the Father to sit there on his front porch waiting for this wayward son for who know how many years. Now that's very positive. Never give up. Never give up. Visiting dormant saints is like skating on thin ice. Amen. I fully amen this word. My, If we are a little careless, we may fall through the ice and damage them as well, just that wrong utterance, but even by that wrong tone of voice, but by that wrong gesture, I tell you, we send a wrong signal to them, and we fall through the cracks, I mean the ice, and they could be discouraged or further damaged. A lot to learn, dear saints. You again learn by doing. D, in principle, when we visit people, we must have a smiling face. How about that? Now, you can be more practical than that. A face without sorrow or sadness. And at the same time, we need to let people speak, not saying much, but joining in with what they are speaking, following their topic in sincerity. They like to talk about their job. They like to talk about this or that. Don't say, "Hey, I'm not here for that. I don't have time with you for that. I'm here to restore you," right? Oh, that's crazy, of course. That's totally crazy. Learn, brothers and sisters, the smiling facing means a positive attitude, a joy within you just because you get to see him or her. Isn't that a joy? Shouldn't that cause us to be happy? You know, when you have a long face or, no one wants to talk to you anyway, right? No one to be want to be rescued by you. Okay. Don't say, learn not to say that much. Learn to listen. Learn the art of listening. I strongly recommend the book, The Character of the Lord's Worker, some of those chapters, How to Be a Good Listener by Brother Nee. Excellent, excellent chapter. Excellent chapter. And so many different kind of words, including the words they have not said, you learn to listen. You learn to hear. And then you learn to be where they are. Don't expect them to be where you are. You be where they are and following their topic. Isn't that the Lord Jesus in all those cases, many of the cases in John, with this Samaritan woman? He just went along. Oh, the Samaritan woman wanted to talk about this mountain to worship that mountain, worship the Lord, went along. And he had the skill in doing so to what? To give her the living water to drink. These are skills we need to pick up. In the matter of visiting, we must hold firm to one principle. We should be careful about the things we speak. We just need to smile because of our joy in seeing them. All right. There are a few more short Roman numerals. I feel maybe we can stop here. Let's have a break.